Good morning. The meeting will come to order. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Duggan.
Here.
Chair Duggan.
Here.
Vice Chair Fabricio.
Here.
Ranking Democratic Member Hanshofsky.
Here.
Representatives Anderson.
Here.
Benjamin.
Present.
Barrero.
Here.
Botana.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Franklin.
Present.
Griffiths.
Here.
Placon.
Here.
Rudman.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Stevenson. Tant.
Here.
Temple. Tremont.
Here.
Woodson.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have a quorum present for the Tuesday, March 21st, 2023 Insurance and Banking Subcommittee meeting. As a reminder to everyone in the room, please silence all electronic devices. A reminder to members to please turn your microphones on and off when speaking. We're going to get right to it with HB 1575, Public Safety Emergency Communication Systems by Representative Brackett. You're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member. HB 1575 clarifies that the jurisdiction requiring installation of an enhancement system must have a third party certify that their emergency communication system meets or exceeds the minimum radio coverage design criteria in the national and state fire codes. What that means is this, in layman's terms, is that we finish a project, we build an apartment complex, and it has to make sure that we have radio strength throughout the building. They come in and test it to see if it has radio strength. If it doesn't, they're required to have an enhanced system put in, which helps that. That can change based on construction type, as far as how this radio system works. Past that, then we go ahead and do that. A third party certifies that. In the meantime, we don't hold up the CO. They have 90 days to get it completely done. And then past that point in time, we have inspections on every 3 years for high rises and every 5 years for other buildings. Mr. Chairman, that is my bill.
Thank you. Members, any questions on the bill? I see no questions and I see no amendments. We're in public testimony. Carrie Hebrank, Florida Automatic Fire Alarm Association, wishes to speak. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. And I'd like to take a moment to thank the bill sponsor. He's been very generous with his time, as well as a proponent of this legislation before you. I do represent the Florida Automatic Fire Alarm Association. These are the guys that are the experts in this field. And we have some concerns with the bill as currently drafted. Specifically, the bill requires that a jurisdiction must demonstrate that adequate public safety radio coverages must exist in the jurisdiction where the building is located. This protection already exists in Section 11.0 of the recently adopted Florida Fire Prevention Code. It makes clear that building owners are not required to install an enhancement system where the jurisdiction has inadequate radio coverage. For this reason, we believe much of the language in lines 40 to 51 of the bill is not needed. Further, lines 52 to 58 of the bill call for a qualified third party to certify a jurisdiction's public safety emergency communication system meets or exceeds the minimum radio coverage design criteria for such systems without providing criteria for who these qualified third-party providers are. These radio systems are complex, and we need to ensure that those certifying these radio systems are professionals in that field and adequately trained and qualified. Likewise, the bill appears to add a new burden to both building owners and authorities having jurisdiction at 3 and 5 years to reevaluate buildings that have already been determined to not need a system. There is no existing requirement to revisit buildings that have already been assessed for radio coverage. There are some instances, however, when a second look at a building may be reasonable, such as a major renovation, or if a public incident occurs and the systems fail during that incident. We have some suggestions for some alternative language to deal with that. Lastly, I wanted to say the bill presumes that a registered architect or engineer who designed the building has the requisite knowledge and training experience to determine whether or not a building has adequate communications coverage, even though they are not radio system professionals. We have some real heartburn with that section as well, because they are not trained in these systems. And with respect to the temporary certificate of occupancy, I would maintain that our building officials are the ones who provide temporary certificates of occupancies, not the fire officials. So that, too, would need to be amended. Thank you for your time, Mr. Chairman, and we'll continue to work with all the stakeholders.
Thank you. Members, we're in debate. Any debate? Seeing none, Rep. Brackett, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I waive close, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Duggan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fabricio?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Honchovsky?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Flaken?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
The bill passes. Thank you, Rep. Brackett. Our next bill is HB 487, Department of Financial Services, by Representative Salzman. You are recognized.
Good morning. Oh, it is still morning. Good morning, Chair. Thank you, first of all, for hearing this bill today and to the staff for being superheroes with super strength. HB 487 is a truly American bill, and I appreciate the opportunity to share this Department of Financial Services agency bill. The bill is a package which streamlines the department's processes and aims to protect Florida consumers, simply American. Amongst other provisions, the bill ensures that injured workers receive appropriate health care by ratifying the rules that allow medical providers to be properly reimbursed for their services. Totally American. It also includes the coolest part, which it creates measures to allow for firefighters to get charitable donations, creating a direct support organization to support their efforts to protect their communities and provide life-saving equipment and resources. God bless America.
Thank you. Members, we have a strike all, so I'm going to ask Representative Salzman to go ahead and explain that before we take questions. You are recognized to explain amendment. Barcode 411811.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This strike all is comprised of technical changes throughout the bill. That is the bill.
Thank you. Members, questions on the bill? Seeing none, we're in public testimony. Andrew Kalel, Florida Bail Agents Association, waves in support. Ray Colburn, Florida Fire Chiefs Association Executive Director, waves in support. Heather Bernier, Independent Funeral Directors of Florida, waves in support. And Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Patronis.
Oh, it's my guy.
Waves in support.
Future Governor of Florida.
I have no other public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Any debate? Seeing none, you're recognized to close.
God bless America, Mr. Chair.
Rep. Salzman, having closed on her bill, Kimberly, please call the roll. We did. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Sorry, thank you. We did not formally adopt the amendment. Kimberly's keeping me straight. Without any objection to the adoption of the amendment. Seeing none, show that amendment adopted. Thank you. Please call the roll.
Chair Duggan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fabricio?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Honchovsky?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Flaken?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Thank you. By your vote, that bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Our next bill is HB 1185 by Representative Gia Lombardo, Consumer Protection. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair, Ranking Member. I'm not going to be as entertaining as Representative Salzman, but good morning. So I've worked with the CFO, Jimmy Patronis, on protecting consumers. And this bill specifies conditions for mortgage loan originators to work at remote locations. It establishes guidelines on online crowdfunding campaigns organized during a disaster, adds disclosures related to sale or lease distributed energy generation systems, reducing the time frame for insurers to complete the insurance underwriting process from 90 to 60 days, enhancing public adjusters' contract requirements and extending timeline for consumers to make decisions to cancel a public adjuster contract, ensuring that proceeds from the insurance claims stay in the pockets of consumers. It clarifies the timeline for the application of hurricane deductibles and requiring agents to act in the consumer's best interest when selling recommended annuities. And that is the bill.
Thank you. Questions on the bill? I see no questions. There is an amendment. You are recognized to explain amendment barcode 247623.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's among other relevant technical changes to the amendment, but the amendment creates a limit for corporate checks to be cashed in relation to the coverage amount specified for workers' compensation policy. And the amendment revises some of the timelines for consumers to rescind on a public adjuster contract and make decisions regarding their insurance claim, and that is the amendment.
Thank you. Questions on the amendment? I see none. Public for the bill. Okay, thank you. There are no public testimony cards on the amendment. Is there a debate on the amendment? I see none. You're recognized to close on the amendment.
Very close.
Thank you. Without objection, show the amendment adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Okay. We have several public testimony cards. Tim Meenan, NAIFA, Florida, waves in support. Thank you. Timothy Sean Murray, Triumph Consulting Group, wishes to speak. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm here to speak on HB 1185, Section 12, Subsection 3, starting on line 840. The public adjuster shall not provide services until the insured and insurer has been provided an unaltered copies of the executed contract. I've been a public adjuster for over 15 years. I love to provide a high-quality service to the clients I serve. One of the best ways I can do this is to provide information right away as soon as the loss has occurred or as soon as they have questions for me to answer. To delay the whole process until the contract can be sent to the insurance company before I could answer any questions, before I could provide service, is going to be a waste of time to everybody there. In the best interest of time and the best interest of serving the clients, we want to be able to answer questions and help them immediately and get the answers done and get them back on the feet. Because if you've ever had an insurance claim in your house, you know how difficult it is. You know, lots of things going on that you just want to get back to your normal life. And that's what the services we provide. There's questions and answers right away so that they know what's going on and can know what to expect for the future to save them on time on their insurance claim.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Jim Reynolds, public adjuster, wishes to speak. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Tim Reynolds. I'm a public adjuster. I live in Sarasota, Florida. I'm here to speak about Senate Bill 1185, specifically.
Sir, I'm not sure your microphone's on.
Oh. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm here to talk about Senate Bill 1185, specifically Section 12, Subsection 3, starting at line 840. As it reads, the bill requires a public adjuster not to provide any services until the executed contract has been provided both to the insurer and the insured. This is a very ambiguous statement, in my opinion. It does create potential qualifying delays, specifically with the way I perform my work. When I do have clients that contact me to come out and ask if I'm able to assist them, the best way I'm able to do that is to go to their house, review their documents, whether it be a policy, declaration page, and also review any specific damages that not only the homeowner finds, but also that I may find. I do have a considerable background with the insurance industry, starting almost 25 years ago working for the insurance companies, and in 2018 making the transition to a public adjuster. So this specific part of this bill would be potentially limiting, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeremy Sizemore, Coastline Claims. In the interest of time, if you know you're going to speak, if you'd move up to one of the closer seats just to save time. Thank you. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Jeremy Sizemore. I'm the owner of Coastline Claims out of Jacksonville, and I'm here to speak out against HB 1185. I want to discuss Section 9, Subsection 7, starting on line 433. Now, this requirement to provide an estimate within 60 days is going to make it difficult for smaller firms like myself. PA firms like mine, we don't have the resources to hire a large staff to provide estimates in this timely manner. Plus, we also don't have the staff to be hounding the insurance company for the certified policies and things like that. It's our job to provide an estimate that's in accordance with the covered damages, not all the damages. There's exclusions, there's policy provisions, coverages that apply in certain situations that we need certain documentation from the insurance company in order to be able to properly prepare an estimate, a proof of loss, and all these other things. Especially considering the moratorium on us being able to provide any services within the first 3 days of the contract being signed, this is when a lot of our initial documentation, like the photos, doing Matterport scans of the property, documenting all the damage, and preparing all this post-loss obligations for the insured. Passing this bill will make it exceptionally difficult for the smaller firms, and you're going to force a lot of the claims that should be handled by PA to instantly go into litigation just simply because of a lack of resources for the smaller firms and their inability to meet some of these deadlines that y'all have created. thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Julie Mohan, licensed public adjuster. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. I'm Julie Mohan. I work as a public adjuster and a building consultant. I also work for FEMA. And it seems like you guys really have the right idea and the best interest of everybody in heart. So thank you for what you're doing on this bill. There's so many good things. But like my colleagues pointed out, there's a few ambiguities. And the one I'd like to talk about is, like, when we enter into a contract with an insured, sometimes they've worked their claim themselves, and there's just maybe a little bit more that they need, or they don't understand a few of the things why they're being denied. And when we come in, and especially the people that I like to work with, they're the ones that maybe are a little older or don't speak English as the first language, and they're not understanding why they're being told no. And so on these cases, I mean, I don't think in some cases that 10% cap is unreasonable, but there's certain cases that it might be, and I might not be able to help those people or as many of those people when we're capped like that. Do you guys have any questions for me on that?
Thank you. CFO Jimmy Petronas. You are recognized. Welcome to the Florida House. Welcome back.
Thank you, Chair Duggan. Vice Chair, good to see you, sir. Ranking Member Ochoski, thank you so much for your service. And Director Lloyd, thank you for putting up with us. I want to first talk about, Mr. Chairman, if you could allow me to digress a little bit, and I want to talk about Rep. G. Lombardo and also Rep. Botana. A lot of y'all know, Griff knows, Griff chaired, Representative Griffiths chaired the Bay County Commission during Hurricane Michael. And recovering through a hurricane is about the worst thing anybody could ever go through. And these two guys, they have been through hell with Hurricane Ian. They're still going through hell. They are frustrated. Their constituents are frustrated. They hear about it every single day. They have their own challenges. They're trying to put their lives back together, trying to put their business back together. And then here we've got the Florida legislature comes and assembles, and we've got to create some policies. And sometimes the policies are going to be important to a very emotionally traumatized part of the state. And then trying to pass a law or change a law that makes sense for all 67 counties is not easy. And that's this amazing, beautiful process that y'all so nobly serve in that I have so much respect for. And I was telling the representative that I miss this process. I miss being there hammering out the right policies. And sometimes you got to give. Sometimes you got to change and give in some. So I've seen these two guys deal with the trauma of Hurricane Ian. I've seen them solve people's problems on the spot. I know the governor takes a lot of credit for the restoration of the bridge at Pine Island. Me personally, I think it started off with Mike a lot more than anybody else because Mike was living out on Pine Island, and even though it wasn't even in his district, he was wearing himself out trying to help people put their lives back together. So this is why a lot of this legislation looked at. The only the commentary that we had is from the public adjusters. And I'll make it clear, insurance companies suck, okay? Contractors suck, all right? But you know what? Public adjusters suck too. But you got good insurance companies, you got good public adjusters, you got good contractors, okay? And it's a disaster, okay? We've got hundreds of thousands of claims affected from the storm. But what happens, as I tell people, is the Good Samaritans, they show up day 7, day 8. They're there providing the relief, the resources, the cleaning up of the debris. It's the parasites that show up hours after the storm that I'm trying to target right now. Those are the only SOBs I care about putting out of business. Those public adjusters that have come up here, my part say, I guarantee you, they're the white hat players. They're not the ones going door to door, signing people up while they're grieving, while they're traumatized, without any access to internet, water, power, you name it. So everything I've always asked with the good representatives legislation is we just target the time of the disaster. I don't really care outside the time of the disaster. If my house burnt down right now, you know what? I can go stay at my mom's. I can talk to my brother. I've got internet. The whole community is not traumatized right now. But all I care about is letting people make a good decision at the time of the disaster and not be influenced because they're in a vulnerable state and they're looking for help. So that's why this legislation, I think, is a fair request. Some of the elements of it I've asked, and look, I think everything's open for negotiation, but I'm not the negotiator. You're the negotiator. You're the ones who put your name on the ballot to craft legislation. I'm just advocating, sir. So, and with a good public adjuster, my attitude is, there's good ones in this room. There really are. You know, I've referred my own employees and my family's restaurant to public adjusters. It's a noble trade because I'm going to tell you, when it comes to a time of disaster, insurance companies, not everybody's been through this, but insurance companies, they will employ receptionists. They'll report employ anybody as a category as of an adjuster in order to handle phone calls to try to help manage the overwhelming demand of support. And I've talked to insurance agents, and insurance agents have said to me, you know what? It's kind of nice every once in a while having a public adjuster to pick up some of the workload, okay? Because there's just so many, it's the trauma of a disaster, okay? And I shouldn't be encouraging that, but it is what it is. People need help. People need help. So, but you know what? You got those son of a guns who cross the line, who sign people up, who get 10% of their claim, even though it's a policy limits claim. The carrier's going to write a full blank check. I mean, why should you give a cent to anybody if you're getting that? Every cent of that money should go to the policyholder. So again, narrow window. If you're doing a great job, there's no reason why a single policyholder should ever have to fire the public adjuster. Just take care of your customer. Don't be the parasite who is canvassing the neighborhoods hours after it. Don't be that guy. And that's what, you know, again, I know we probably shouldn't advocate for policy out of emotion, but a lot of times that is where the genesis of why I want to stand before you today and advocate, Mr. Chairman. I can go through a lot of the other details here, but I just wanted to tell you that I think members of this committee should be very proud of some of the public servants you have up here. And Chairman, that's my my spiel. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Chief Petronas. Members, any questions?
If dramatic images off the internet, and they will then harvest money from good-hearted people during a time of disaster. Even with the Surfside building collapse, GoFundMe's own attestation that they had, I think, found just on their own investigation, I think 27 fraudulent GoFundMe campaigns that took place. So they run about 2,000 active campaigns a day. So we started going through their verification process. So what I was asking, I said, if Jimmy Petronas has started a GoFundMe campaign, you know, for Hurricane Ian trauma, but he lives in Northwest Florida and he doesn't live in Fort Myers, wouldn't it be nice at least that if the donor saw that, why is a guy from Northwest Florida asking for money for Southwest Florida? So I've asked for some transparency. And they pointed out, said, look, we probably think it's probably not the best policy of putting somebody's personal address where they could be targeted by criminals, activity, any of that type of stuff. Fair enough. So then, but they have, what I'm going to ask them for, I haven't told this them yet, so you're hearing it before anybody else, is they do have a verification process. They do have a part on the website where they focus on disasters. And, you know, I'm going to ask them that when it comes to a time of disaster, that they only use their verified fundraising individuals in order to be allowed to participate in that space. You know, and if somebody wants to go through the trouble to be verified, then they can advocate on behalf of this. Because there's so many fantastic charities that fill the void after a disaster. I just don't want any of that money going to any, you know, unscrupulous people taking advantage of folks while they're generous and they're feeling sympathetic towards the trauma that our state's going through. Thank you for that question.
Rep. Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, go Noles.
Go Noles.
Secondly, in respect to the public adjusters, can you address some of the comments you heard in testimony, and are you willing to work with them to address their concerns?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Absolutely. But, you know, I'm going to give you an example of a friend of mine in Fort Myers Beach. You know, I've gotten a lot of calls. I have not gotten as many calls as this guy has or this guy has on regarding the trauma, the insurance claims. But this is why I'm going to give you a longer answer than you probably want to hear. So we have pushed out. I wish I'd take full credit, but the governor, we all worked together to push out millions of dollars to help people with their claims. We did a recent insurance village. We're going to do another one in April. And we did a series of insurance villages in the affected areas between Charlotte County and Lee County and Collier County, where we serviced about just over 1,000, almost 1,100 policyholders and pushed out $5.4 million in claims payments. We tell the carriers, if you're going to come and be at our insurance village, you're going to write checks on site. And they do. And the insurance carriers are eager to want to write checks. So we will continue to work that process. But, you know, here, a friend of mine in Fort Myers, he has damage. He's got flood insurance. He's got windstorm insurance. He's getting payments. He's happy with his carrier, you know. But, you know, here at the fault of the insurance carrier, it's a three-story house. And so the individual is sitting outside the house with the insurance adjuster from the carrier, and he says, well, are you going to inspect the roof? Well, it's a three-story house. The insurance adjuster says, well, I don't have a ladder that I can do three stories with. So now you've created the sense of doubt in the policyholder's mind that there's damage that's not being inspected. So what happens? A door-to-door public adjuster now comes up, signs him up, and now has put a lot of other narratives. Now, the only reason I know is because this particular public adjuster has a reputation of already, you know, warm taking that claim over to an attorney. And I don't want that type of business, because now the poor policyholder's being left twisted in the wind. I'm at the mercy of somebody else who's taken over my claim. I've gotten an adversarial position with my carrier, and I'm just wanting some cooler heads to prevail. So again, there's the good and there's the bad. And what I'm wanting to hope is create a little bit of a buffer in order to allow a carrier to get their act together and write legitimate checks. And if they don't, then turn the dogs loose. Let the public adjuster come in there and find every single misaligned board in the house and make the carrier pay for every single stinking penny of it, you know? But, you know, don't prey on somebody because of a set of circumstances because, again, trying to recover from a disaster. Fort Myers Beach is one of the worst places I've ever seen in my life. It is heartbreaking. It's devastating. They'll lose their identity. They'll lose businesses. They're going to lose restaurants and businesses that were there for generations. But it'll come back stronger. But unfortunately, what makes it so unique is not going to be the same anymore.
Yeah. Rep. Whitson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And good seeing you again.
Good to see you.
CFO. I didn't go to FSU, but I support FSU.
Thank you. I do like your colors.
I'm a Panther from FIU. Did you mention that you are going to have an insurance bill in April?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any reliefs is there anything factored into the bill to provide relief to the homeowners, to Floridians?
So we're asking for an expansion of the My Safe Florida Homes program. Mr. Chairman, because of the good work of this legislative body, last May, when y'all had the special session, you awarded our office ability to start a grant program, $10,000 per household. We had enough to service about 11,000 household applicants. We've had over 17,000 applications. So the citizens of the state are seeing that value. So we're going to come back and show, hopefully, a good work product to find generosity amongst your colleagues and yourself to fund another round of this money and try to expand it a little bit more. And while the state is in a good place financially, I'm a big believer. A lot of people don't think about this, but hurricanes actually create a lot of money for the state, okay? There's a lot of sales tax generated. About $1.3 billion in non-typical money has been created because of Hurricane Ian, just because TVs, cars, wardrobes, all this new sales tax the state's going to generate because over half a trillion dollars of money is going to be paid out in insurance claims. So my argument is let's take some of that sales tax money and let it go back and benefit the citizens in a way to harden their homes.
Members, we've actually already moved that bill through this committee. It's 881 by Rep. LaMarca.
Thanks.
Rep. Woodson, did you have a follow-up?
No. Actually, no. I will reach out to you and talk to you about
something.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I see no other questions. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you all. Appreciate your time. Look, and just thank you for letting me come in and get a little emotional with you. I miss this process. And really admire what y'all do every single day. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Our next speaker is Paul Handerhan, Florida Association of Public Insurance Adjusters. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Paul Handerhan, I represent FAPIA. It's the Florida Association of Public Insurance Adjusters. It's the largest state trade association for public insurance adjusters in the country. They were enacted in 1993 after Andrew. They've worked with the CFO's office ever since that storm, collaboratively try to make sure that public adjuster standards are the highest possible. I would tell you we are completely 100% aligned with the CFO and the sponsor to make sure that consumers are protected. It seems like the major issue is that people are soliciting right after the event. And listen, if we want to create a moratorium where people are not soliciting claims after an event, I think that's something we could get behind. But we don't want public adjusters to be singled out. If you look at what's really happening on the ground after these events, public adjusters are in the minority. You have a massive amount of contractors, loss consultants, third parties, attorneys, all types of individuals that are soliciting these events. If we want a moratorium, let's have a moratorium and apply it to everybody. That's somebody that we could support. But if you look at this bill, it's actually much more comprehensive than just banning solicitations after an event. So I think I would be remiss to say the representative gave me a lot of time to talk about this bill. He's completely open to talking to us more and working to try to get to a better place. The CFO and his office has spoken with us on numerous occasions. They are completely open. We appreciate the time that they afforded us, and we believe that the CFO and the representative, their true interests are consumers. We have no doubt about that, and we want to be a good partner. We want to continue to work with them and get this bill in a posture where we can come up here to the committee and testify in support, and that's what our hopes are. So with that, I conclude. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to entertain them.
Ranking Member Hanchowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So are you saying that the section that they're talking about, it's because it's not just during the emergency, it's all the time?
You're recognized.
There's a number of sections in the bill that affect public adjusters. Some of them have to do just with a declared disaster. Some of them are outside of a declared disaster. There's a number of reforms, and some of them we're completely supportive of. You know, so I wouldn't say every provision having to do with public adjusters we're in opposition of. There's really only probably three or four that are the most contentious. But we understand what they're trying to do, and they want to protect consumers. We want to do the same thing, and we want to be a collaborative partner in that process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Matthew Mink, public adjuster. You're recognized.
Good afternoon. I want to thank the chair, the committee. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to some of our concerns. I am a public adjuster from Central Florida. Go Knights. It's probably controversial, but that'll be it. Everybody else was. But essentially what I want to speak to today about this bill is specifically Section 9, Subsection 11, line 44, and which it says that the insurer pays the policy limits, if the insurer pays the policy limits no later than the 14th day after the date of reporting the loss, the contracted public adjuster would not get their standard fees. Basically, it's really about the language, how it's vague in this bill, specifically because when it says if the policy limits are paid in full, and there's many sections to any insurance policy. You have the dwelling, you have other structures, you have personal property liability. So if the insurance carrier pays, for example, the personal property in full, what happens to the other ones? So it's just basically the vagueness of this particular portion of the bill that we just wanted you to recognize and to think about. But thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mark Goldwich, representing himself. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Mark Goldwich. I'm a licensed public insurance adjuster. I own the firm Gold Star Adjusters in Jacksonville, Florida. I've been a licensed public adjuster since 2004. And prior to that, I was an insurance adjuster and manager at a large insurance company starting in 1987. I've been adjusting for 35 years. My firm out of Jacksonville, we help hundreds of policyholders every year recover millions of dollars on their claims, money that they would tell you they were only able to recover with our professional assistance. The section I want to discuss today is Section 9, Subsection 6A, starting on line 401, begins when entering a contract for adjuster services but does not specify the party that we're entering the contract with. There are cases that we contract with a third-party claimant, not a named insured. We're not opposed to what we believe is the intent, which is that we get the named insured's permission before we hire another party to assist on the claim. It's just a matter of specifying that when entering a contract with a named insured for adjuster services. That's just a simple clarification. And I do appreciate your time today. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. De Oliveira, You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. My name is Vitor De Oliveira, and I am also a licensed public adjuster and owner of All Claims Public Adjuster out of Boca Raton, Florida. And I wanted to primarily thank everyone out here this afternoon for passing this wonderful consumer bill. However, I do have some concerns about HB 1185, specifically the right of rescission on Section 9, Subsection 7, starting on line 413, and why that part of the bill needs to be amended. In 2018, the right of rescission was extended by lawmakers from 3 days to 5 days for claims that were subject to a declared state of emergency, such as hurricane, like the one that we suffered recently over in the Fort Myers Beach area. Again, in 2020, the right of rescission was again extended to 10 days for all claims of any kind. Today, I stand before you because, again, we would like to extend that again to a 30-day rescission, which, again, is the longest in the whole nation. Again, that's not just in the state of Florida, but that's in the entire country. Why, again, we're being targeted for having such a long period of rescission. Again, I don't disagree with the CFO himself as to, you know, maybe amending something that, you know, will target the, you know, door knockers or the contractors or those that are actually preying on those. But to target the whole industry like myself for somebody that's actually doing the right thing to help constituents and consumers like yourself, you know, I just think it would be you know, a little bit out of line based on, again, just for being 30 days. Again, I just wanted to thank you guys for your time. Thank you again for giving me the opportunity to speak on behalf of you guys as well. And again, thank you for everything.
Thank you. Mike Kentenz, Rocket Central, waves in support. Tasha Carter, Office of the Insurance Consumer Advocate, waves in support. And Dave Hall, Golden Trails Public Adjusting. You're recognized.
Thank you to the chair and all committee members. My name is David Hall. I'm not only a licensed public adjuster, I was also an independent adjuster for 10 years before coming to this side. I'm wanting to speak to you today just specifically about one particular subsection, subsection 12, subsection 3, line 840. It's specifically saying that I cannot perform any work as a public adjuster until my contract has been signed and submitted to the insurance carrier. Now, hopefully that only takes days, but the reality is oftentimes that takes weeks, sometimes months, for the insurance carrier to recognize my contract and admit that I actually have a contract with the insured. In the meantime, you're asking me to perform no work for the insured. I can't inspect the property, I can't look at their policy, I can't see if there's coverage, I can't provide them any advice because of the way the bill is written at this time. That's not really a practical way for anybody to do business. I understand the intent. I'm loving the idea that we're helping the consumer because the reality is all of your good public adjusters are the ones that want to help the consumer. That's our goal. That's what we do. That's what I've spent my life doing. Before this, I was a firefighter for 30 years. Serving the public is what I do. Asking this is not going to allow me to serve the public. It's not going to help the insured, and it's not going to improve the situation for them. So again, let's back off just a minute, not pass this bill at this time, and discuss it further and come up with better solutions. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Just as a point of clarification, Mr. Stowers, did you want to speak? There were two cards, one with your name, one with the chief's name. Thank you. Thank you. Members, we're in debate. Representative Griffiths,
you're recognized. Mr. Chair, I'd like to thank the chief for his comments and Rep. G. Lombardo and Rep. Batana. I feel your pain. Hurricane Michael was devastating to my community, but I think after every big event, we learned some things. I was in the hotel business previously, and Hurricane Opal hit my community in 95. I had to hire a public adjuster to help me with the claim, and I learned a lot through that process. But what I did have was a home to go to and lay my head down at night. When you have a devastating effect from a natural disaster that wipes the entire community out, where everyone you know, family, friends, Everyone is displaced. You're all suffering at different levels. It is an emotional burden that really takes a toll on the community. So I would like to thank the CFO. I'd like to thank him for his really paying attention to these serious problems that have happened over the last few years. And like I said, after every big event, we rewrite the book a little bit better. And I think this is just one step forward in making a positive change in what is a really trying time for people in this community, in this state. And so consumer protection is paramount in this. And so with that, I'm up on the bill. Thank you, sir.
Rep. Steele.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for bringing this great bill forward. You know, I didn't have any questions actually prior to the last person that came up, and my only concern would be around waiting for services. And I know that inside the bill, there's you got to mitigate your loss. And if there's a three-story building and you can't put a cover over the roof and you're going to have damages, I just want to make sure that what we passed last week is going to cover the mitigation of loss.
Any other members in debate? Seeing none, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for coming out and testifying and all the adjusters. We really appreciate it. I will tell you that we have had multiple conversations with multiple stakeholders that this bill impacts, and we're continuing those conversations. So what I am going to say is, you know, Rep. Botana and I, we went through the recent hurricane, Ian, and his district got hit a lot harder than mine. Some parts of his district are completely wiped out. And I will say that the day after the hurricane, because I stayed for it, I left to go to I was at my parents' house, stayed with my mom and dad, with my kids. We went over to my house, which is a mile down the road. And my dad's been trying to call me, and I see I had a couple of missed calls, so I go back over there. And that evening, he already had three public adjusters. He's 70 years old. He had hardly any cell phone signal. And he's just nervous because people are coming up to the house. Now, there's a couple of things that are really valuable during anytime, but during a disaster is your time and money. Right? We were out of power for 14 days, so with hardly any cell phone signal. And this bill seeks to add time for people to get out of some of these contracts that they're emotionally signing right off the day one. That's what the time frames and all that stuff attempts to address, right? And then money, more money going from the policy to the policyholder to fix their home. One of the adjusters talked about, oh, it affects adjusting outside of disasters. Well, it does in some ways because they can collect up to 10% during a disaster and 20% outside of any other time. This bill states that they can only collect that percentage of what they've added value. There was some cases where the insurance company cut a check for $20,000. You know, it wasn't enough. They went and got an adjuster. That adjuster helped them get another $20,000. Should they be getting 10% on 40? Right? So this bill seeks to address some of those things. We're going to continue to work with them. We're going to continue to work with all the stakeholders. I've talked to a lot of good adjusters, and unfortunately, I've had some words with some bad ones. We just got to figure out a good place to make sure that our consumers are protected. So with that, I close.
Thank you. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Duggan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fabricio?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Hanshofsky?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Hannity?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Thank you. The bill passes. Congratulations. Members, our next bill is HB 743, Estoppel Letters by Representative Fabricio. You are recognized to present the bill from your seat.
Thank you, Chair. Members, this is a bill on mortgage payoff letters. Those of you who were in this committee last year, actually those of you who were in the House last year heard this pass on the floor. The bill is, it does a bunch of different little things, but what the main thing the bill does is it requires that when a lender issues a payoff letter, an estoppel letter, for the home that you're selling or you're refining, that the language in that payoff letter be firm, that it not be conditional, that they don't wiggle around, that it be firm language, that you can rely on it, so you can take it to the closing letter, closing table. Members, that's the bill.
Members, questions on the bill? Seeing none, I see no amendments. We have public testimony. Gary Sumner, First American Title Insurance, waives in support. Thank you. David Daniel, Florida Land Title Association, waives in support. Ashley Khalifi, Old Republic National Title Insurance Company, waives in support. We have no other public testimony. We're in debate. Representative Steele.
I would just ask that we look at auto loans and other loans as well.
Any other members in debate? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Thank you. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Duggan.
Yes.
Vice Chair Fabricio.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Honshofsky.
Yes.
Representatives Anderson.
Yes.
Benjamin.
Yes.
Barrero.
Yes.
Botana.
Yes.
Kennedy.
Yes.
Franklin.
Yes.
Griffiths.
Yes.
Blaken.
Yes.
Rudman.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
Stevenson.
Yes.
Tant.
Yes.
Temple.
Yes.
Fremont.
Yes.
Woodson.
Yes.
Thank you. By your action, that bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations. Our next bill is HB 253, Securities Transactions, by Representative Barnaby. You are recognized. I'm not sure that's on.
All right. Good morning, Chair Duggan.
Good morning.
Vice Chair Fabricio, Democratic Ranking Member Honshofsky, and committee members. The proposed bill amends Florida's securities statutes administered by the Office of Financial Regulations to modernize and streamline Chapters 517 of Florida statute with current developments in the securities market. Florida's Chapter 517 has not been updated in nearly 30 years. Despite major developments in federal securities law and remains one of the last states, that is Florida, to adopt common modernizations and revisions. Members, the bill contains the following technical and clerical updates to sections that are outdated. Updates to language and references for clarity, revisions and adjustments to definitions, removal of outdated and obsolete sections and concepts, and the elimination of issuer-dealer registration requirements and elimination of an issuer escrow requirements, incorporation of continuing education requirements for associated persons of an investor advisor. That is the bill.
Thank you. Questions on the bill? Seeing none, we have one amendment. You are recognized to explain amendment number one.
Chair, the amendment removes proposed changes to the definition of, quote, control, end quote, and reverts this to the statutory definition. It also removes proposed definition of the term, quote, control person, end quote, and removes it from the bill. Regarding the terms, quote, natural persons, end quote, and individuals, quote, end quote, the wording is reverted to the language used in the bill as originally filed. Reverts certain continuing education-related language to the bill as originally filed, and provides technical and grammatical corrections as needed. That is the amendment.
Thank you. Questions on the amendment? Seeing none, we have one speaker card on the amendment. Ash Mason, Office of Financial Regulation, waves in support. Thank you. Commissioner Weigel's in the audience as well. That is the only public testimony we have on the amendment. We're in debate on the amendment. Any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave closed, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Without objection, show that amendment adopted. Seeing none. We're back on the bill. Do we have any public testimony? We have none. We're in debate on the bill as amended. Any debate? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wave closed.
Thank you. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Duggan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fabricio?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Honchovsky?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Clayton?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Thank you. By your action, that bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations. You are, don't go anywhere. You're recognized to explain HB 1111, Value Added Insurance Products.
Thank you. Thank you, members. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, again. Chair Duggan, Vice Chair Fabricio, Ranking Member Honchovsky, and the committee. House Bill 1111 seeks to clarify current law and remove red tape that bars life insurance providers from the opportunity to offer value-added services and products to their plans. Life insurance needs the flexibility to make their products better for Floridians. Members, life insurance want the ability to offer value-added services to Florida consumers as they are allowed to in other states. Consumers could benefit from value-added services at no cost or at a discount to their policy. These products are tied to the underwriting process or underlying risk associated with a policy. They are all extra benefits added to a policy. Examples of these value-added services and products include will preparations, grief counseling, and the safe return of a person's remains if he or she passes away outside of the United States. These services create more competition in the marketplace, which ultimately benefits Floridians' consumers. That is the bill.
Thank you. Questions on the bill? Seeing none, I see no amendments. We have public testimony. Kurt Leonard, American Council of Life Insurers, waves in support. Thank you. We have no other public testimony. Any debate? Seeing none, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wave close.
Thank you. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Duggan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fabricio?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Honchovsky?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Clayton?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
By your action, that bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee members.
Members, our last bill is HB 901, Secured Transactions, by Representative Fabricio. You are recognized to explain the bill from your seat.
Thank you, Chair. Members, this is like deja vu all over again. This is a bill that ran last year and passed off the House floor. The governor objected to the bill on one reason, which had to do with the retroactive nature of the bill. That's been completely taken out. This is a consumer protection bill, and what it does is it says that if a consumer enters into a contract that has a security requirement, that any of that consumer's specific accounts with regard to wages and things of that nature and life insurance proceeds must be clearly delineated if they are to be included within that security interest. Members, this is a good consumer protection bill. That is the bill.
Thank you. Questions on the bill? I see none. I see no amendments. We have public testimony. Doug Bell, Business Law Section of the Florida Bar, waves in support. Thank you. Martha Edenfield, Real Property Probate and Trust Law Section of the Florida Bar, waves in support. Thank you. There's no other public testimony. We're in debate. Any debate? Seeing none. Representative Vice Chair Fabrizio, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. Wave close.
Thank you. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Duggan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fabrizio?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Honchovsky?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Lakin?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Here, yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Fremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
The bill passes, sir.
Thank you. By your action, that bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Vice Chair. Thank you. Members, that concludes our agenda. Representative Anderson moves we rise. Without objection, we're adjourned.